Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Today is Easter, or as I like to call it, Resurrection Sunday. If you missed our special service this morning in celebration of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, be aware that it's not too late for you to enjoy tonight's special service at 6 p.m. Our celebration at Easter time is about Jesus' resurrection as the capstone of the gospel purchase. We celebrate his redemption purchase and all that that event affords to us. The message you're about to hear is perhaps the only time I've preached a part two that was separated by more than 3 years from part one. This message is titled Barbecue Faith and subtitled Second Helping. It was preached over 3 years after the initial Barbecue Faith message, which was subtitled Low and Slow. Here you go.
A little over 3 years ago, I preached a message called Barbecue Faith, Low and Slow. And it was subtitled, A Life-Changing Sermon About Service and Daily Life in the Kingdom of God. See, if you want a meal that's fast and easy, you can do that. You can cook it on a high heat, and you can cook it fast, and you'll have a meal. But don't call it barbecue. The rule of barbecue is low and slow. You've got to cook it for a long time at a low heat. And it produces something wonderful that you can't get with high heat and fast cook time. When I think about the fact that God had some beings that we call angels that have freedom of will like we do, but they didn't start off like us. They started off with eternity. They started off with immortality as their default from the beginning. And one of them, the son of the morning, the brightness of God's glory, Lucifer, rose up in rebellion and sin. He was able to lure a third of the angels to follow him in his rebellion. And somehow God, in his infinite wisdom, said, the next time I create some beings with free will, I'm not going to start them off in a body that's immortal. I'm going to start them off in a body that is corruptible, a body that can get old, a body that can get sick, a body that can die. I'm going to start them off with relationships that are fraught with problems. I'm going to start them off with relationships of love that are fraught with goodbyes. I'm going to start them off with relationships where they have to have funerals and send their loved ones on and do without them for a while, because I'm trying to get some beings with free will ready for eternity in a way that they won't forsake me like Lucifer did. And so it is that immortality, that's in our future. But we're in a learning phase right now that's getting us ready for that eternity. And it's going to get us started in that eternity with more maturity and more wisdom and more understanding than our predecessors, the angels. In fact, it boggles my mind, but beings that are quite infinitely older than us, the Bible says that we are going to judge angels. If that doesn't amaze you, I think you're not paying attention to what God is doing. Just as a little brief review on the first helping of Barbecue Faith a little over 3 years ago in January of 2016, I talked to you about the fact that God could send us a flash in the pan, great revival, hundreds of souls, great status, mega church. He could dump that on us overnight, but he seems to think most of the time that we have more lessons to learn in slogging on through life in humdrum, everyday, perhaps lifestyle that you might even be tempted to feel weary over and disenchanted about, and maybe even bored with. I long for great, sweeping, powerful revival. Truth be told, I long for a day when people aren't so hard to deal with. Maybe you do too. But you see, the fact that we have trouble dealing with each other It's an opportunity for us to learn a lesson that will befit us in eternity. The church would be easy if the church had no people, but what kind of church would a people-less church be? I'm not trying to be funny. That's not like how much wood could a woodchuck chuck. If the church had no people, all you would have is an empty shell, just a building. Really, the church is never the building. The church has always been the people. And the church is the church, whether we're in corporate worship together or whether we're ambassadors for Him out there in a lost and dying world. The church is people. And as long as the church is people, we will have challenges. We will have occasional bouts of discord. We will have challenges and difficulties and misunderstandings and hurt feelings and perceptions of betrayal. We'll have temptations. We'll have stumblings. We'll have failures. We'll have flaws. We'll have faults. We'll have weaknesses. We may just find that it gets so hard on us that we get weary in well-doing and we don't think we can go on. And that's even before you start talking about having to have funerals to bury your friends. But there are lessons that we learn in this hard stage of eternity that will help us to get ready for that immortal stage of eternity. I mentioned to you the verse from Luke 9:62, and Jesus said unto them, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom." And I preached to you Galatians 6:9, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." The best barbecue is always about low and slow and never about high heat and a fast cooking time. I preach to you Luke 21:19, "In your patience possess ye your souls." And I told you this is not about you giving a lifetime of service as some kind of trade in exchange for a great outpouring of spiritual success and spiritual gratification and spiritual fame and spiritual status and a move of God that will put us on the map like some mega church that we may hope to emulate. But rather, it's about finding joy in the journey and being okay with patiently serving God and serving people where He called you, where He placed you. It's about growing where you're planted long term. It's not about some bargain by which you twist God's hand, twist God's arm, forcing Him, compelling Him to finally grant you some candy stick of reward of a sovereign move of His Spirit that speedily accomplishes the great success for the kingdom that we aim for. The truth of the matter is that there are scriptures that promise a great move of God, and there are scriptures that promise that God will do a swift work, but the Lord might do it swiftly, but that doesn't mean He's going to do it immediately. He may wait a long time before He does it and then do it quickly. I preached for you from Galatians 6 that God is not mocked, that a man reaps what he sows, that those who sow to their flesh will reap from their flesh destruction, and those who sow to please the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And that's the context of the next verse, verse 9, Galatians 6:9. "Let us not become weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." One translation says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." I preach to you about patience and possessing our soul in our patience. And now 3 years later, we've had funerals. I tell you, sometimes this life can just be tough. I don't know if it hurts you as much as it hurts me when I see good people get their spirit all mixed up and out of place and discord and let a root of bitterness grow, and then I see them walk away from God and walk away from the church. I don't know if that hurts you like it hurts me. I have a feeling it hurts God more than it hurts me, but it hurts me an awful lot. And it seems like no matter how many decades you give in the work of God, there's just more of that pain and just more of that pain and just more of that pain. How many people can pray through and backslide? How many people who serve God great for a while can backslide? You'd think at some point you'd run out of people that can backslide, but it seems like there's an endless supply. And the pain is just there. And that's even before you start having funerals of godly loved ones that you didn't want to say goodbye to. And then there are transfers. Oh, Lord, help us. You know, the old saying is sometimes you get the bear and sometimes the bear gets you. Y'all ever hear that saying? Some of you kids haven't heard that saying. You're like, what are we doing? We're getting mauled by a bear. I don't know. Maybe that's the origin of the saying. But the way I always heard it applied was that sometimes when the young person gets married, you will lose that young person to the other church where their fiance, their new spouse goes. Sometimes, though, you'll get their new spouse and they'll stay. But do you ever sometimes feel a little bit like the short end of the stick, like that the precious few that we got seem to be outnumbered by the precious ones that we lost? I'm not trying to keep score. I'm just saying that when you say goodbye to these people, you know you're going to see them every now and then, you know, maybe a few Christmases, but it hurts. And really, you reach a point where you realize you can either be bitter about them going, or you can be thankful that you ever got to know them at all. We've got to learn the lesson. And the lesson is you have got to guard your heart against bitterness. You've got to guard your heart against weariness. You've got to guard your heart against spiritual fatigue. And the antidote to that is thankfulness and praise. And I'm not trying to preach some mystical power of positive thinking, but sometimes we just have stinking thinking. We just need to get our brain pulled out of some weird mode and cast down some imaginations and cast down some strongholds and take some thoughts into captivity and get our thinking turned right and realize that as painful as it is, there is blessing of God all along the way. Each morning His mercies are new. I'm telling you folks, in spite of all the pain, all the lost loved ones, everything, God is good. And all the time. The reason why you saw me leave a few minutes ago was because the Lord just dropped a little nudge in my mind. And I stepped out and I just super quick, I just grabbed a little handful of photos and I emailed them over to Sister Wonderful over here behind the computer. She is so precious. Baby, I'm going to cry. I'm going to cry when you get married. I can't help it. I love you. We used to be able to lay the back seat of the van down and throw blankets and cushions in there, and we called it making the bed. And folks, we made so many long journeys in that van. We made so many long journeys in that van. I remember one time we tried to put Adina into that van, and she just bucked and screamed and wept and cried. She just didn't want to get in that van again. I remember on one occasion I had abdicated the wheel so my wife could drive, and I was going to try to get a little rest, and I climbed back in the back where those blankets and those pillows were, and Eliana was back there. She hadn't had the Holy Ghost very long, and I was back there laying down in the back of the van next to her, and she said, "Daddy, tell me about heaven. What's heaven going to be like?" And I began to talk to her about what I had learned from the Bible about heaven. I'm telling you, baby, I'm going to cry at your wedding. I'm sorry. There ain't no way around it. I want you to show those pictures. Just show them kind of barbecue style. Elder, I think that was maybe the first time you preached at another church beside this one. There's Elder Hoskins. We had to bury our friend. He told us a vision God gave him on his deathbed. He told us a vision. And he said the church building, the new church building was built. And he said it was full. And he said, "I saw faces I recognized. And there were new people that I couldn't recognize their face." And he said, "Everybody was worshiping God." He said, "There were people dancing everywhere." He said, "There were people running the aisles." And he said, "Everybody that was running was all running the same direction." And he said, "I was running the aisles, but I was running the other way." Later on, after he passed away, we wondered if maybe that wasn't a hint to us that maybe he'll be with us in spirit in that new church. So the next one, maybe. I'm sorry, folks. I'm not trying to make you cry. I'm not trying to make myself cry. You have to either say, Lord, I'm going to be bitter, or you have to say, Lord, thank you for the time that we had. Show the next one, baby. Oh, look at that. My goodness, how can they grow up so fast? How can it happen so fast? You hear me, young people, you think your life ahead is, you think your retirement is so far away. You think your older days are so, you're going to blink your eyes and you'll have gray hair. You're gonna lay down one night and wake up the next morning and wonder where 20 years went. You need to be faithful in church and learn some lessons that will prepare you for eternity. If you're not moved to tears, you didn't know her. You hear me? If you're not moved to tears right now, you didn't know her. But if you knew her, your heart's touched right now. You can either be bitter that she's gone, or you can be thankful that you got to know her at all. Show the next one. Look at this. Is that Devin? Look how little he is. Have you seen him lately? He's like a grown man. Look at the next one. Okay, now it's a little tough to make out. But I see the Bargo girl. Is that Gavin? Was he ever that small? He was that small last night, I thought. There she is again. There they are again. Look at the next one, huh? Brother Tyler, what a tall, handsome man he is now. We love you. We love you. I will cry at your wedding too. God smiled on us with Casey. Did y'all see the picture Sister Brandy posted the other day? He has a little Barbie Jeep and he puts his plastic snakes in them. And he gives them rides. And their little open snake mouths are turned up in the air and they look like they're just smiling, enjoying the ride. He run by this morning, and I just reached out for a high five, and he connected with a high five for me. If your heart isn't moved, you didn't know her. You can either be bitter, or you can be thankful. You better choose, and you better choose quick, or the pain will drown you. There's a way you can learn. There are lessons you can learn, and those lessons get you ready for eternity. Wow. Just leave that one up there for a minute. Dean, I'm going to cry at your wedding too. Alana, Caleb, Aaron, JT, Ryan, I'm going to cry at all y'all's weddings. Some of these little rascals, we only see them every now and then. You can't hardly recognize them because they're grown adults now. I had to give a little extra nudge to get Sister Wonderful to show us this one. Who says you have to be sinful to have fun? There's good, clean fun. There's no sin in having good, clean fun. And I don't know what kind of superheroes these are. Leaf Lady and Plant Girl. And Elder Hannah, I already cried at your wedding. One day you're finally going to be a doctor. And then I pray one day you're going to be a doctor mom. And I'm going to cry. Brother Bud's going to cry. Sister Sherry, Sandy's going to cry. They're going to hold little baby and cry. We miss her. She's doing great things in the kingdom of God. She's just not doing it here. I got an email from her the other day. She said, Pastor Joseph, she said, I just want you to know. She said, some of the stuff you said to us years ago, it comes back to me. She said, little things of wisdom that you dropped, she said, it comes back to me in a moment of need. She said, I just wanted to send you a message and thank you. That little tidbit right there is a diamond, folks. You can feel like you are spiritually drowning in a mud pit, and one email like that comes through, and you just say, it's worth it all. Show the next one. Okay. That's just cool. Handsome boys. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm going to cry at your wedding too. Look at the next one. I can't remember if it was 6 or 8 people that we got connected with at Jesus Fest that wanted to be baptized in Jesus' name. And our baptistry was leaking. So in desperation, folks, we didn't have time to order something. We had to do something immediately. So I went here and there and yon. I finally found a farmer's cattle watering trough at Tractor Supply. And it had a plastic dome for a top. The plastic dome was not detachable. The only way into that thing was through a little hole where the water goes in and a little spigot where the water comes out. But I looked at it and I thought, I got a circular saw at home and I think I can cut the top off this thing. So I put it in the back of my truck and I was driving home, and on the way home, the wind caught that thing like a big kite and blew it right out of the back of my truck and right off to the side of the road, right over near that church in Stonewood that we go past to get home. So I had to pull over. I had little Gav Bromeister with me. And I said, I got to go get this cattle tank / baptistry out of the ditch over here. So there I am trying to carry that thing and put it back in the truck and get it home. And we took it in the garage and we turned it on its side. And I got a circular saw fired up. And I said, Gavin, I said, we're going to start on this end of the garage. And you push it toward me. And I'm going to cut it while you push it. So I started cutting and he started pushing and I'm backing up while he's pushing it toward me. And then all at once, boop, the dome lid falls off and we look down and it was wonderful, but it was full of some kind of red paint looking rust proofing. I don't know what on earth that was. And I was like, Gavin, can you get down there and clean that up? Yes, sir. And right down in there he got. And I took a picture of it. Gavin, I love you. If the Lord tarries, we'll cry at your wedding too. I hope it's all weddings ahead and not funerals. I hope we get to marry all of them off and don't have to bury any of them before they get married. We're blessed. The Bible says children are a blessing from God. The world tells you they're a drag and a drain and a problem and a headache and you need to murder them with abortions. But the Bible says they're a blessing. They're a gift from God. Show the next one. All right, we've reached the end. That's the last one. Just look, folks. Some still with us. Some serving God in other places. Some not still with us. I just want to tell you something. There's a secret. I'm going to whisper a secret to you. I'm going to tell you how you can stay filled with joy through the midst of pain. I'm going to tell you how you can keep serving God when all the pain and the sorrow and the funerals and the backsliding and the pain and the backstabbing and the problems and the gossip and the discord and the confusion seems overwhelming. I'm going to tell you a secret. Stay connected to Jesus. I don't know nobody running the aisles right now, but I'm telling you, those are the wisest words you'll ever hear. Tell the truth and stay in the church. And pray and fast and read your Bible and fall in love with Jesus and let His love abide in you. It's perhaps arguable, but you probably could not find a more clear command of a rule from God than the stated rule to keep the Sabbath. But do you know in Israel, religiously observant Jews who won't work on a Sabbath at all, but if they work in the medical field, they work on the Sabbath when lives are at stake. You know what the moral of that story is? People matter more. The scripture even tells you that when you don't work on the Sabbath, but if you find that your ox is in the ditch, it's okay for you to work to get your ox out of the ditch on the Sabbath. Why? Because that ox matters more than the rule. Folks, if that ox matters more than the rule, then it ought to be common sense that people matter more. Hear me. There are some rules that are from God, and they are right, and they are proper. But you need to speak the truth in love, and you need to make sure that you work with God in the framework of those rules in a way that keeps people mattering more. Jesus said, I got a commandment for you, that you love one another. You know, that's really the secret. Brother T.F. Tenney used to say, hugging some people is like hugging a porcupine. You come away bloody. And then he would say, hug them anyhow. I'm telling you, loving some people is painful because they're going to backslide. I'm preaching to you, love them anyhow. Where do you find the strength to keep loving after so long and so much pain? Folks, if you are a branch that's disconnected from the vine, you are on your way out. But if you are the branch that is connected to the true vine, you hear me, there is an endless supply of grace and love and strength and power and touch and anointing. There is an endless supply of love. And when you stay in Him and let Him stay in you, then no matter what curveball life throws you, you can keep finding a way to learn the lesson and let it mature you instead of letting it damage you. I want to ask you to stand. He said, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I made known to you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." Folks, whatever challenge you run into, if you respond into it in some way other than love, you're still needing to learn the lesson. Whatever it is that someone did to you to hurt you, as painful as it is, if you respond to that with any way other than love, you've still got some growing up to do. You've still got some maturing to do. You've still got some learning of a lesson to do. I have good news. The vine is here. The vine is here right now. That limitless supply of strength, of quickening, of power. That the vine that is Jesus is here right now. We have felt his presence quickening us and helping us in this very service tonight. If you just reach up and reach out to him, you can connect with him right here, right now, tonight. For any of you young people, if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are living life as a dead branch disconnected from the vine. You need to let God fill you with his Spirit tonight. And for any of you that it's been a long time since you spoke with other tongues, it's been a long time since you let the Spirit of God flow through you, I implore you tonight, reconnect with the vine. Let the power that is in the true vine flow through the vessel that is your branch. Because it's really the only way that your life will have true impact that affects eternity. I don't care what kind of buildings you can design, or what kind of new thing you can invent. If you're not connected to him, any fruit that comes from your life will not be fruit that affects eternity. But if you connect to him and you let him flow through you, you can produce fruit that will impact eternity. Your life will matter. 10 billion years from now, my work for the sanctity of life will still be honored in the kingdom of God. 10 billion years from now, my work to cooperate with God's plan for Israel will still be being talked about and honored. 10 billion years from now, every Bible study I have ever taught and every precious soul that I ever helped to repent and be baptized in Jesus' name and receive the Holy Ghost will still be a work that is honored and talked about 10 billion years from now. There are things that are temporal that you can infuse eternity into them, but only if you're connected to the source. I want to ask you right now, if you'll come and join me in the front, and maybe let the source give you a nudge of who to go to pray with. Or maybe let the source give you a nudge of who to intercede for.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.